You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Isaiah 6, 1 through 9, Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also Jehovah sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it the seraphim, each had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is Jehovah host. Whole earth is full of his glory. The post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, Jehovah host. Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. And I heard the voice of Jehovah saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go, and tell this people, hearing you indeed, but understand not, and seeing you shall see indeed, but perceive not. Chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. On the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it, with judgment, with justice, from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of Jehovah host will perform this. And may the Lord add his blessing now to the reading of this, his holy word, and this grace for Christ Jesus' sake, and in his name we pray. Amen. To acknowledge afresh the privilege that we have here, and to thank you once again for your continuous grace. At the same time, we're cognizant again of our limitations, and therefore we look to you for this grace as you cleanse us, as you sanctify us to your purpose, as you rebuke the evil one, as you hedge us in and make us a people whereby you can bless us. Thank you for attending these things, Father, because we ask these graces here and now, and this for Christ Jesus' sake, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, last week we began to look at something of the complexity of deity. As I said, I had only planned to speak about that last Sunday, but it was like sort of getting a piece of tough steak. The more I chewed on it, the bigger it got. And so I want to continue that this morning. And I thought the setting of that can best be appreciated in your heart by looking once again at the wholeness of God. As much as you can, and ask God to help you in this, try to set where Isaiah set when he penned this sixth chapter. It was a time in Israel when the King Uzziah, who had been a good king, had ruled some 50-odd years. And the last year of his life, sad to say, he did something that was so obnoxious to God that God struck him with leprosy. And so the wonderful life of Uzziah died in that condition. And the whole nation was in mourning. In that hour of mourning, God came to Isaiah with this vision. And he saw Jehovah high and lifted up. Now, to appreciate something of what Isaiah saw, these seraphim that were guarding the throne of God, they're creatures of living fire. That's what the word seraphim means. Now, you and I have no concept of a creature who is living fire. That's what they are. That gets into a realm that it just so boggles the mind that you can't even begin to think about it. Nevertheless, and fire is a very purifying thing. As pure as they were, notice they covered their feet and their faces with their wings. The other two wings, they flew with those things. That gives you a little bit of a picture of what it means to come into the presence of God, a holy God. Isaiah saw this. The doors of the temple even moved because of the holiness of God, and smoke ascended up. Now, keep in mind that Isaiah, humanly speaking, as far as a good man is concerned, is probably a cut above us by any measurement. But when he saw what God really is, listen and live it with him if you can. Whoa, it's me. For I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King. The fear of God took hold of him in a hurry. And God realized that. He sent one of the seraphims with tongues to take a coal of fire off the altar and place it upon Isaiah's lips to cleanse it. In the meantime, Isaiah, although he was in that condition, he had a listening ear. And the ear is always wonderful to remember this, because faith cometh by the hearing. He had the listening ear. He was overwhelmed by the sight, all right, but he was not so overwhelmed that he didn't have the listening ear. And he heard Jehovah talking in the Godhead. Who shall we send? Kind of subtle on God's part, don't you think? Listening, knowing Isaiah's listening. I want you to get him to see this picture if you can. Live it. It'll mean something to you. He said, Who are we going to send? Isaiah's lips had just been cleansed. He said, Jeremiah, why can't you send me? I've just been cleaned. Go tell these people something, they'll hear, but they won't believe. They'll see, but they won't understand. Some 800 years later, our Lord Jesus Christ appeared upon earth, and he quotes the 6th chapter. Go. What was the message? Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. should be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That was the message that our Lord brought to this planet, first through John the Baptist, through himself, through his apostles. All of that was ready for Israel. But you know, they could not believe that this man stood before them in flesh was the Everlasting Father. Let me quote again. It should be called the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. They just could not believe that. And today, here's the complexity of deity. Today, men still refuse to believe that Jesus Christ, who trod this planet 2,000 years ago, is the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Hence in John 10:30, I and my Father are one. You see, as we made mention last week, the word God is a word that's so misunderstood. And I've said this many times, but by this time it ought to take hold of you. The word God is a status. And the mystery of God is that the Bible reveals that there are three persons that are God. That means that these three people can be omnipresent. It means that they can be omniscient. It means that they're immutable. They have attributes that we don't have. They can be, the Son can be the Father can be the Son, because the Holy Spirit is the manifestation of the both. Hence in John 16, we will send the Spirit to you, and when he has come, he will take of mine, and he will show it unto you. You see, beloved, there is no way to believe and know God apart from the Word of God. All the manifestations, all the things, all the religions of the world concoct different ideas of God. They're all idolatry. When you in your mind's eye try to concoct something that looks like God in your own imagination, that's idolatry, pure and simple. There is no revelation of God apart from the Word of God. John 1:18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten of the Father in the Father's bosom, he had declared or revealed him. This is why he said in John 14, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes unto God but by me. The next verse you heard on to say, speaking to Philip, have I been so long with you, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. I and the Father are one. Now don't ask me to explain that, because I can't do it. God didn't ask me to understand all the ramifications of it. He asked me to believe it. I assure you that when Isaiah saw Jehovah high and lifted up, the reason he said, woe is me, because no man can see God and live. He knew that his time had come. And he was a man that was what? Undone. That's why he cried out, woe is me. See? And if you and I could have seen that picture like Isaiah saw it, you'd have cried out the same thing, except for one reason. You've been clothed in the perfection of the Lord Jesus Christ, who alone has immortality. Because you have died with him, you've been buried with him, you've been raised with him, you've been ascended with him. Hence it is written in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6. We've been raised together with him and made to set together with him. Whereabouts? In the far above super heavens. I don't understand that. I'd say that's all right. Just believe it. See, the hearing is what counts. There can be no revelation of God until you hear the voice of God. A young man called on the radio yesterday. You mean to tell me God doesn't speak anymore? Yes, he does, but only through the Word. And if you don't hear the Word, you'll never hear the voice of God. God's not speaking. He has spoken. He's not going to speak. He has. And his voice sounds down through the ages through this Word. And if you have a listening ear, you can hear God in the Word. That's why the Holy Spirit has come, to guide you into all truth. Hear it, believe it. And as Paul said, if you have any doubts, God agrees with you without controversy. Great is this mystery of godliness, that God is manifest in the flesh. You see, once you believe, then God is in a position to make himself known to you. Listen carefully. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. That's one thing. You don't have to understand God. You just have to believe that he is. Now notice the rest of that verse. And is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. But you cannot seek God and have a reward from him until you believe that God is all that the Bible says he is. He is the Father. He is the Son. He is the Holy Spirit. These three persons make up the Godhead. This is why in Colossians in chapter 2 and verse 9 it says, for in him Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. When you see God, and you will see him one day as your Savior and Lord, or you will see him as your judge, you will see God. That's who you will see. Because all the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelleth in him. Today you see the different concepts of God demand that all the great religious leaders are taking us to the same place. And what a lie. We're not all traveling different roads. We're traveling only one road. And that's the Lord, through the Lord Jesus Christ. All other roads lead down to the pit. That's just why the New Age movement is such a damnable thing today, because it has a network of all these different views of leading to the Master Supreme, or whatever they want to call him, or God. But there are roads that don't lead upward, they lead down to hell. When you discover yourself, as they say today, looking down in the depths of your soul, realizing the dignity of you, see, that's the figment of man's imagination of God. Because when you look at the Bible, look at the whole Bible, and when you see God in all his beauty and all his wholeness, you will cry out like Isaiah did, woe is me. See? This is God. other picture of him is a figment of man's imagination, which has been energized from the wicked one. You shall not die, but you shall be like what? The gods. It's the old lie going clear back to the Garden of Eden. That nothing new under the sun. It's always the same old lie. We worship in spirit and truth. Jesus said in John chapter 4, God the Father seeks those to worship in spirit and truth. Now let's analyze that just a minute, because this is very important to you and to me. How can I worship in the Spirit? I cannot worship in the Spirit unless I've been generated by the Spirit. That's what Jesus said to Nicodemus. Except a man be generated from above, or born again, as you, he cannot even see. Or that see has to do with perception. The kingdom of God is impossible. So to worship, I must worship in the Spirit. It must be generated of the Spirit. And notice, in truth. I cannot worship apart from truth. And who is the truth? The Lord Jesus Christ. There's no way to worship God. See? This is why Jesus, in the days of his flesh, those who boasted of being the seed of Abraham, those who boasted of their past lineages, he said, if you were of your father Abraham, you would love me. I know you're the seed, but you're not the children. Because he believed. He not only believed, but he rejoiced to see my day. Now notice the rationale. Well, you mean you're not even 50 years old. That's the rationale of the world, see. They could not believe what the Bible said. And that's the problem today, beloved. It hasn't changed a bit. Because when man runs into a dimension that he cannot placate to his human rationale, he's stumped. It doesn't matter how smart he is, how well educated he is. If he cannot become like a little child, and that's exactly what Jesus said, he placed one little child right out in the midst of him. Except you become like this little child. You must have that type of faith that you can believe what God says. When you're a little boy or a little girl, 3 years of age, and your daddy says that you're going to the moon, to the adult, you're kidding the child. But to that three-year-old child, you're not kidding, you're going to the moon. See? And this is what it means to believe the book. Faith cometh by the hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Any other voice you hear is a false voice. Is a voice out of the pit. This voice is coming right through this body of mine. If it says any other thing than that, as Paul put it, let him be anathema, be accursed. And I guess it's high time that we quit playing softball and start playing hardball. I'm learning that on this radio station down there. You can't be nice sometimes to people. They won't let you be nice. You've got to get in the same league with them. And it's coming down to those things. Some God-fearing people, we thought, have dispelled our brother over here from even talking about the Word of God, rightly divided, believe it or not. Didn't talk to me that way. I think they're trying to get to me, but they refused to let him speak. That's one of our own. You see, the Word of God is quick. Let me emphasize this verse to you. It's in Hebrews 4:12. And you ought to memorize this. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder the soul and the spirit and the joints of the marrow, is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. When a man is called himself a Christian and he refuses to listen to the Word of God just because he is not able to always rationalize things, that man, you must have a question in your mind about it, regardless of what his claims may be. Like the two Scotsmen, one of them said, it seems the whole world is queer except me and thee, and sometimes I'm not so sure about thee. And we have to remember that, beloved, today in this day in which we live, because religion is so predominant everywhere. It is big business, believe me. And simply because they spout the name Jesus. Jesus is the lowly name of our Lord. It's not the high exalted one that he is today. When those in heaven approach the Lord Jesus Christ, he will be called Yeshua, Jehovah Savior. That's what he will be called because that is his name. And what do you think Isaiah saw? I saw Jehovah what? High and lifted up. One of the passages, turn to Isaiah 43. We've got just a little bit here. Verse 3. Isaiah 43, I'm sorry. Verse 3. I am Jehovah, thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Verse 10. Ye are my witnesses, said Jehovah, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. And before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am Jehovah, and beside me there is no Savior. Turn to Luke chapter 2. This is a story that you're well acquainted with. But the angel Michael has descended to a little space in Jerusalem by the where the shepherds are. And the angel makes an announcement in verse 10 and 11. And the angel said to them, fear not. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David the Savior, Christ, Jehovah. That's what it says. Those other ellipsis words. There is no Savior apart from Jehovah. Notice. This is the one who condescended to come down and become a baby. Can you imagine the condescension of our Lord? Became the Savior. In John 4:14, let's write this down. It says he was sent, the Savior of the world. The word sent there is a pastello. It is the verb form or the noun apostle. It means he was commissioned. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. That is the preserver. Men today are scared to death that they're going to be destroying the world with the atomic bomb. I got news for you. They're not going to. Our Lord is the preserver, the Savior of the world. The cosmos, that's the word. God's not going to allow that. If it's ever destroyed, it will be one day. It won't be by man. God will do the work himself. He doesn't need any assistance. But they're not going to let man do that. Don't worry about that. There's no doomsday coming. In fact, there's some bright days coming. But our time of recognition and promotion is at hand. Now, let's not falter. Let's not be like the children of Israel. Go to these people. Speak to them. They will not hear. Show them. They will not see. What are you going to show them? That a child was born to them. A son was given. The government was to be upon his shoulder. Once again, the wheels of time have turned their full circle. And you and I have the privilege of living to a time, once again, God will send a forerunner to the Messiah. His name is Elijah. And the world doesn't believe that. Even the preachers, they don't tell you that. But he's coming. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before that great and dreadful day. Jesus, in response to that, truly Elijah shall come and restore all things. You see, beloved, the truth is simple. It's whether or not you can believe it, just because you can't always rationalize things. We're dealing with somebody who, if you catch the glimpse and the glory, as Isaiah did, you won't ask any questions. You say, well, that's wonderful. I'm glad to hear that. You don't have to explain it to me. I just believe it. Because you said, if you could see the glory as Isaiah saw, you would never question it at all. No more than a three-year-old would question. In fact, if you told him he's going to the moon, he'd believe it. He stopped to realize who it is that said it, not what was said, but who said it. See? That brings us in the one, I won't quit now. This always remember this here, is first off, have a good listening ear as to what is said, and then have another listening ear as to what does he mean. He means what he says. He says what he means. He doesn't ask you to understand. He asks you to believe it. How can I believe that I was chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world? That's impossible. But you see, our God is the inventor of the impossible. And not only that, but he's the carrier out of the impossible. How could God leave his ivory palaces and come down here and become a little baby? How could he stand the human race in all of his wholeness? Yet he did. Sometimes, you know, I smoke and I hear people smell. I wonder how we smell to God. Father, thank you for the word. May the Holy Spirit be pleased to try and use the things that we've described here to help us to appreciate who God is and what the great length he's gone to reconcile us unto himself, to manifest this love in so many different ways. Give us the grace that's needed now to believe that we not only be approved in your sight, but would bring great honor to your name. Continue to bless now as you prepare us for whatever else you have this day. Thank you for attending these things, Father, because we ask these graces here and now, and this for Christ Jesus' sake. In his name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.